Grüezi miteinander. Ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde aus nah und fern. Ich melde mich noch einmal aus der georgischen Hauptstadt Tbilisi mit einem hochinteressanten Gesprächsgast. Wir machen hier ja eine Art Turbo-Expedition durch einen faszinierenden Kleinstaat im Kaukasus. Ein Kleinstaat ähnlich wie die Schweiz, allerdings nicht neutral, doch wir werden heute über das Thema Neutralität auch reden können mit einem echten Experten, mit einem Spezialisten auf diesem Gebiet mit sehr, sehr großer militärischer Erfahrung. Und das Militärische, meine Damen und Herren, das muss ich Ihnen nicht erzählen, das ist etwas ganz Wichtiges in der heutigen Welt, vor allem hier auf dem Kaukasus, an dieser Kreuzung von Norden und Süden, Westen und Osten, und Georgien ist mittendrin gelegen in dieser Knautschzone, und nicht weit von hier sind auch russische Panzer, eine knappe Wegstunde stehen da Militärlager und so weiter. Man muss sich also vorstellen, dass hier an diesem Ort, wo wir jetzt sind, auch die militärische Lage sehr präsent ist, nicht einfach in dem Sinn bloß in Anführungszeichen durch den Krieg in der Ukraine. Das ist eine Realität, die hier natürlich ganz massiv die Politik mitbestimmt. Und wir Schweizer sind natürlich immer auch neugierig, wie behauptet sich ein Land wie Georgien, ein Kleinstaat in dieser Welt der gefährlichen Raubtiere. Und darüber rede ich heute mit dem früheren Generalstabschef der georgischen Streitkräfte, der offensichtlich mehrere Führungsstufen überspringend als Oberst diese Position bekleiden konnte. Es ist Levan Nikolaishvili. Levan Nikolaishvili, er hat diesen Posten als Generalstabschef im Rang eines Obersten niedergelegt. Bereits 2007 ist seither als Publizist und Ausbildner hervorgetreten. Er ist heute noch tätig in der Instruktion an der Militärakademie Georgiens. Die Georgier haben keine allgemeine Einweisung der Jugendlichen, sondern ist eine professionelle Armee. Er hat Bücher geschrieben und er ist auch ein Mitgründer einer hochinteressanten Bewegung, die da heißt United Neutral. Georgia ist also auch ein politischer Kämpfer für die Neutralität, allerdings ist das noch keine Partei. Und das ist das Grundlagenpapier, das wir heute besprechen werden, unter anderem Initial Observations on the Russia-Ukraine War. Das ist das Thema und jetzt werde ich nach aufs Englische wechseln, damit wir uns verstehen. A warm welcome to you, Colonel, I may say, Colonel Levan Nikolaishvili. Great to have you here in not so peaceful times, unfortunately.
Thank you, invitation.
Fantastic. Well, to start with the obvious question, after all these years, who is actually to blame for this disaster in the Ukraine? Who is to blame for this war?
It's a good question, but to give you the clear answer for the question, I think that we have to go a little bit to the past and see what was the situation before the war started. We have the some, let's say, the political actors who played the real important role for this war, I mean for the beginning of war and for the duration of the war, and in future we will see these main actors will be the real role player to stop the war. In the beginning we had some actions, that was the clear Russia and Ukraine, but also the United States and the some, let's say, the more powerful European countries. Or let's say maybe it will be better to say the leader countries in European Union. That's Germany and France. And when the Putin start these thoughts about the war, you are not surprised if I would say that it was not big illusion why he was doing this. 2008, we had the war with Russia, and unfortunately, all West countries closed their eyes, and like nothing happened in Georgia, and they continued relation with the Putin. Why? Because the Russia was the important country for them, because the energy resources, first of all, oil and the gas. And they closed eyes when he occupied the Crimea also. And Putin is a, let's say, the one of the politician who get the understanding that the if he can do this one step and second step, why not possible to do another step? But for this reason, he has the also the some provocation for that. One of the reasons that he started the war and he announced it officially was that like Ukraine was going to join the NATO. Mm-hmm. And now nowadays everybody knows that the Ukraine will not join the NATO. They knew about that even for that days when the war started. He has the some conversation with the President Biden for the time. He has the meeting with the Chancellor Scholz, with the President Macron. But as I understood for the time, the things what they discussed together with the Putin was not enough for him. They could not give him the guarantees about the NATO. They said that, but that was not enough for the Putin. Putin has the, let's say, the some kind of, I call it like a fear that NATO enlargement will be threat for the Russia. But now, I will, let's, with your permission, jump a little bit front and say the Sweden and the Finland became the members of NATO. Two countries who never thought about that because they thought that the NATO umbrella will be really suitable for them. Mm-hmm. But everybody knew that Ukraine would not be a member of the NATO. That was the provocation, some kind of provocation.
Was it a real provocation or was it just a pretext for Putin? Did he want to have this war or did the West put him into a very uncomfortable position?
In my opinion, of course, it was some kind of test for the West countries from the Putin. And there was also the test from the West countries to the Putin. That was the real test.
And everybody miscalculated. The West probably thought Putin would do nothing, and Putin thought the West is so weak, I just march in and I have Ukraine within
for 5 days. 5 days. But that was the mistake. And we saw then the results for the beginning. 5 days, war was not ended, and Putin was the force to continue this war. And in the result, we saw the many casualties, military, civilians, etc., etc. And still in our days, we have the war. But what was the main issue here? Who will be in the end winner in this war? Now we have the situation where the President Trump is announcing officially that he will stop this war. And he has the, some kind of his ambitions to. How and why he will going to stop the war. It's not going in this way that I'll stop and stop. No, he has the negotiation now with the Putin. He has negotiation with the Zelensky, etc. But again, if we go to the main road, we will see that the who get the back, let's say the bad result for this war and who is getting the, I can say the good result, but let's say the some kind of result.
Who is the winner of this war so far?
Winner will be, in my opinion, finally United States. To be honest with you.
And all the others have lost.
Yes. Putin will try to announce himself the winner of the war, but it will be for his population inside of the country. Outside of the country, everybody knows that the Russian army is not so powerful as we thought during the after the Cold War, after the Second World War. And this illusion that the Russian army is one of the powerful countries in the world is completely destroyed by Putin. Mm-hmm. That's one. Second, we saw the European countries try to help the Ukraine, but their help was absolutely nothing without the United States. We saw that. Also, another winner will be the NATO, and I'll tell you why. Because the, if anybody has not any kind of casualties and any kind of some kind of roads, it's a NATO. NATO still has secured his borders, and no NATO countries are damaged during this war.
Mm-hmm.
And allies is still allies, right? But inside of these NATO countries, some of the countries also show that they are not so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not do anything against the NATO.
And still the Russians could prove to the world sanctions cannot kill us.
Yes,
of course. You surprised that about the resilience of the Russian economy, which is of course important for their military
performance? If you are talking about the sanctions against the Russia, there's totally some kind of game. Because some countries announced the sanctions against Russian, but they didn't stop the relation and the trade and the commercial relation with the Russia. It's not honest way.
Mm.
Especially the Baltic states. We have former Prime Minister Kaja Kallas, who is now one of the European Commissioner. Her husband has some business in Russia. And same way, the Estonia was forcing us, also Georgians, to make these sanctions against the Russian. And we say, for what?
Yeah.
These sanctions will not destroy the Russia, and these sanctions will not be helpful for Ukrainians during this war.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will be really very damageful for us, for the Georgians. And you see also the what kind of corruptions we have now in Ukraine. No, we knew that. But now it's clear for everyone.
Everybody has seen.
What the Zelensky are talking that the he was waiting $170 million equipment or financing, etc., and he's getting the half.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the other money?
What does Putin want? In the West, they say he's this imperialist. He will continue. If he's not stopped in Ukraine, he will grab one other country. He wants to conquer Ukraine. Putin says, no, that's not true. He's denying it. I'm a man of peace. It's just self-defense of Russia. We cannot accept NATO in the former, you could say, you know, the origin country of Russia in Kiev, etc., with the Orthodox Church. I only want that NATO leaves me alone. Who is right? Is Putin the predator, the aggressor, the carnivore, or is he the peace man who was unnecessarily provoked into a war he never wanted?
Of course, Putin is the aggressor, and what he did in Ukraine is aggression, and what he did in Georgia is aggression. And he could not be the right guy for many reasons. But we have to understand why he is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia became one of the countries of the around the 15 countries. And I don't know how it sounds. For us, it was the good because we got the independence. But for the many countries, it was not good. And it was the really terrible time, especially for the Russians, because they lost the power. They lost the influence, especially during the Yeltsin's period. And as soon as Putin came in the power, he decided, first of all, how to create these influences to the neighbor countries. And more or less, he made it. Then he was involved. He decided how to use Russian natural resources like gas and oil to make richer and to make this oil and the gas as an instrument against the Europe. And he did it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But then his, let's say, the appetite became bigger. And in the 2008, he occupied 20% of Georgian territories. And again, what I'm trying to say is that the West was quiet for this time. They did not want to bother the Putin. But then his appetite became more, let's say, the bigger. And he involved in Crimea. Again, nothing. We saw the Putin's portrait in the first page of the Time after these occupations, etc., etc. In the 9th of May, in a parade in Russia, many West countries participated in the parade and they saw their, let's say, the friendship proven to the Putin. But when he involved Ukraine, they saw the threat. And their threat was like that, that if he make it in Ukraine, maybe tomorrow he will do it in Poland, mm-hmm. or in the Baltic states. And like the European bureaucrats and European leaderships, like, wake up. But it was late, mm-hmm. because war was started.
Mm-hmm. What is the right way to deal with a Russian leader like Putin? What would you recommend the European Union? What would you recommend the American president? How to deal with this president, Putin?
First of all, the negotiations is one of the way. But negotiations should be with the, some kind of force. Otherwise, Putin will not stop. He knows very well what he's doing. And it depends on the position, what kind of position will he will have during the negotiation. You know very well what's the negotiations. Eh? As an example, we have the negotiations through Misha, and that's why we are sitting together and you are interviewing me and I'm giving the answers. But why this negotiation was successful? Because we found the same, let's say, the ways or the same point of interest. Your interest was to speak with me. My interest was to give you some kind of opinion, my opinion to you. And that's why this negotiation was successful. Let's say, to see the real good picture, first of all, what we need is to get the more information. What kind of country is Russia? What kind of leadership he has? If somebody has the some kind of, sorry for that sentence, stupid opinion, when Putin in a one happiest day or dark day, as you like, passed away, and then will come the another good Russian, that's a big mistake. They have their national interest, they have their geopolitical interest, and any kind of president in Russia will follow that. Mm-hmm. Even it will be not so stronger, like a Putin.
Yeah.
So we have to learn first of all the picture. What kind of country we have, what kind of leadership they have, what kind of interest they have, and what will be for them more or less good sentence.
And what is the most important interest of Putin? What does he finally want to achieve? What do we have to know about this leader to properly understand Russia?
Two interests he has. It's to keep the influence for the some of the countries, and second, to make Russia more richer, let's say, with the economy, etc., etc. But I'm talking about the state. I'm not talking about the population and the small people. It's not interest of Russians, leadership. It was never the interest of them. Have a strong country with the strong leadership and to be respectful from the other countries. Mm-hmm. That's their way. Mm-hmm. Another thing is a very difficult.
Is Putin, in your eyes, a deeply corrupt leader, one who takes a lot of money out of the state? Is he, in that sense, a failed leader? Is he a corrupt leader?
First of all, Putin for me is an enemy. And I'll tell you why. I still remember 2008. Mm-hmm. Who was right and who was wrong, starts the matter for me. That was the commander of armed chief, and he was the president of the country who took the 20% of territories of my country. And for what? It's a stupid. It's a much better to have the good relations with the neighbors than to be in a war situation. I'm thinking, lot about the, how we can get these occupied territories back. It's a different way, and we can discuss this for hours. One way is a war way, with the military way. But in my opinion, it's not good version. Because once we tried this...
It's suicide.
Yes, especially for us. And I'll tell you, I'm not have any kind of guarantee that we will have this such kind of support like the Ukraine will have. And even the Ukrainian has the support from the West. Look what kind of situation we have in Ukraine. How country is destroyed, yeah. How population is away from the country, and what will be the result after the ceasefire? It's a different version. So another way is a diplomatic way. Yeah. For the diplomatic way...
It's interesting to say that. You say it's a diplomatic way, not because I like Putin,
yes,
but
of
because
course.
The other way would yes, be suicide. I have to, out
yes,
of the
course.
Sheer
yes,
reality, I have to negotiate.
Yes. We have to open eyes and see that. Diplomatic way is a way of negotiations, of course. And it will not be one day work. It could take years and years, maybe. But we have to be, first of all, good prepared for that. And in my opinion, we also need the, some kind of international support for these negotiations. Mm-hmm. I was the member of the Kalmat group when we discussed it with the Russian Federation military bases withdrawal. But we were not alone there. Mm-hmm. Americans were together with us. And they also forced it mm-hmm. for the Russians. That means that the, if I will take this situation that the, tomorrow we have the negotiations with the, about the Abkhazia, about the so-called South Ossetia, we need to start the negotiations with the Russia. Mm-hmm. Because the Russia has the key of this yeah. problem. But to start these negotiations, we will not be alone. Mm-hmm. It had to be with the, some partners.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, this in this day, in this hour, I see the two partners. It could be United States and the China.
Mm-hmm. European Union, no.
European Union, in this picture, in this behavior, what they have, yeah. has zero influence with the Putin.
Zero influence. One last question on Vladimir Putin, because you have a long experience. You have, of course, been brought up in the Soviet armed forces when Georgia was a Soviet republic. You know the Soviet Union from the inside. You know the Soviet leadership. What would you say? Is Vladimir Putin... Joseph Stalin with a friendly face, or does he bring a new quality, a new modernity, whatever, to Russian leadership, or is it just the same old stuff in new clothes?
No, I will not compare Stalin and the Putin, not because the Stalin has the Georgian origin, etc. No. Stalin knew very well what he was doing. He was wrong or right, anyway, he knew very well what he was doing. And he was the real leader. And in Putin's case, sometimes Putin is changing his opinion in the missions, what he has to do. It's very difficult. Look, again, if we go back to the Russian-Ukrainian war, let's imagine the tomorrow Trump made his, let's say, the steps better, and war will stop. First of all, it should be ceasefire, right? Ceasefire is the main thing, because the ceasefire is the tool when people is not dying. But ceasefire also need some kind of guarantees. Mm-hmm. After the ceasefire, they need to make the forces and military equipment distance to each other. And after that, they have to negotiate about the many things. Let's take this some kind of scenarios. If your permission, I will take the three easy scenario. Scenario number one, Russian have to withdraw their forces from the Ukraine and to make the situation like they have when they started the war.
It's not going to happen.
Absolutely right. It's a such kind of dream of some Ukrainians or some people, but it's impossible. We knew each other very well. Scenario number two, Russia will withdraw some forces from the Ukraine, but he will say that Crimea is mine and Lugansk and Donbass is also mine.
And also Zaporizhia and Kherson.
It's a worse scenario then. In this situation, we can say that Putin won this war. And plus, Ukraine will not join the NATO. Plus. Third scenario. Crime will be for Russians, and Lugansk and Donetsk will not be sole problems. And they'll call it, let's say, the white spots. You know what's
about autonomous regions in Ukraine.
It's not the belongs to Russia, it does belong to Ukraine. We will solve this problem later on, we'll discuss, and it will take the years and years, maybe centuries. Ukraine. If Ukraine will take some kind of security guarantees from the Americans to that part what they have still in their control, that will be excellent for them. Then they need also to restore the country, destroy the infrastructure, etc., etc., which needs some billions and trillions for that. Who give them this money?
The European Union.
European Union?
Which has not the money, but they should give, but they don't have it.
Yes. That means the Americans.
But what is the, I mean, what's the quintessence of what you're saying? I mean, we were talking about Putin, about is he a new Stalin with a friendly face? What does come out of all these scenarios for you regarding this question?
Sorry about this, my strong answer now. If Putin will be a Stalin, he will take the Ukrainian whole.
Yeah, yeah. So you said at the beginning.
Let's say that during the Second World War, if Stalin would be stopped in the Berlin, he was taking the whole world.
He would have.
Yeah.
But so then you're basically saying Putin has made a huge mistake with this war.
Yes.
He has not achieved as much as he should have from his perspective. And he has actually not won the war. He has lost the war. He has diminished his position. He has diminished Russia. But he has to make it look like a victory now. But if I understand you correctly, this was a huge mistake by Putin, what he did here.
Yes. If we see the situation in the world before this war, there was some superpower countries. Yep. And with the their strong economy, strong army, etc., etc. And now we have the only, if you ask me, three powerful countries. That's the United States, China, and India is becoming very strong now. And where is the Russia now? Look to the China's way. China is not shooting even one bullet, but became the stronger and stronger with the economy, with the clear and clever politics. Mm-hmm. Same situation we have in India. India is becoming stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. And the Putin's way is a way of 20th century. War is a way of 20th century. Or let's say the instrument of 20th century. Mm-hmm. China's and India's way, and maybe we can say also the same with the Trump's administration now.
That's the future.
It's a 21st century's instrument and the way. It's a new strategic view how to make your country stronger.
Mm. Putin, a man of the past. Now, let's talk about neutrality. Why have you come up with the idea of saying Georgia, the Switzerland of the Caucasus, has to be neutral As Switzerland. Is Switzerland basically a role model here in your neutrality discussion?
One of. Together with the Austrians also.
But the Austrians have copied the Swiss model, I have
yes,
to say.
I know.
Austrians are, in neutrality terms, a footnote of Switzerland. No offense to the Austrians.
We are working and we are thinking a lot about the Switzerland and the Austrians, and we will really want to learn more about how they make the neutrality, what kind of, let's say, the details there, how, which, and so, etc., etc. And we really want to make this more scientific, this issue, and after that maybe we'll push this idea.
And why did you come up? What was the observation that
one of the things is a helpful instrument for that was the European Union and the NATO for us, for me especially, and also for another co-founders. We are five of us, and I'll tell you why. Because to see the view with the NATO and Georgia relation, it's a good relation. We are aspirant country, like a candidate country, but I don't think the future that the in future will be a member of NATO. It's not true.
It's too dangerous. I mean, if you see what happened in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a one. And the second, we will not discuss this issue without the Abkhazia and Samochvalo. And they are occupied with the Russians. Could you imagine how we can became the member of NATO with these two parts, without these two parts of Georgia?
You have already a confrontation between NATO and Russia on your territory.
Absolutely. And NATO will not agree this. Never. Okay. So what is a NATO?
So NATO is in a way an obstacle to independence of Georgia.
Well, somehow we can say that. You are more stronger in this issue than I. So, that's a true. But we like to have the relations with the NATO, corporation, joint exercises, etc., etc., many things. So, good relations. But we don't have future to become the member of NATO. So, to say every year that we see the future of Georgia with the NATO, it's not true.
If you would say Georgia is neutral, do you think Putin would say, I would withdraw my troops from the territory?
Again, it could be one of the sentences, but again, it needs to work with him. And I say again that alone with the Putin, I'm not going to speak. Does not have any sense. Together with the Americans and the Chinese, why Chinese? Because China has the influence to the to Russia. And Putin will be tomorrow or day after tomorrow in this situation that he will take some, get some sentences, some suggestions from China and the United States.
Is Russia the junior partner of China now?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It became, especially after the wartime. Mm-hmm. During the wartime. Before the war, they were like equal. Anyway, Putin was thinking about that in this way, but now it's not so.
So,
and again, another, I said the NATO, European Union, we don't want relation with the European Union in the way of blackmail. Mm-hmm. They are blackmailing us every time. If you do this, I'll do that for you. If you do this, I'll do that.
If you don't go into the war with Ukraine, we put you behind Moldova, we put you behind Ukraine.
To understand, not only Georgia, any country, you have to know, first of all, to learn this country, their mentality, their history, culture, things, and many things. And after that, you'll have this some kind of picture that you'll understand how to speak, how to negotiate, how to deal with these countries. Otherwise, it's difficult. It's a small example. If you go to the countries where they have their traditions, you have to follow these traditions, or maybe you get some kind of problems. Maybe you don't like these traditions and their cultures, but you have to be tolerant of this. Mm-hmm. Minimum, you have to respect them. And the way what the European Union showed to us, it's not acceptable for us. Mm-hmm. And second, okay, we say that if European Union are ready for Georgia to open the negotiations for the membership, that's okay, that's mm-hmm. great. But we think that...
But on equal terms.
Absolutely.
Not...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we see the... You know, even in the NATO, we think that we have to have our place in NATO or in European Union. We don't want to... I don't want to say any bad words to the other countries, but I don't want to see Georgia in European Union like countries who are dependable of France or German when they are give them the, some kind of foundations. We have the such kind of countries, mm-hmm. yes?
That's not a...
With the economical problems every year, with the political crisis every year, but they are member of the mm-hmm. European Union. We have the in NATO... as an example, Great Britain, we have Germany, and we have the Baltic states, and Turkey. Just compare what kind of role they have there. Mm-hmm. And we also see the, let's say, the candidate countries for the European Union, who are the candidates for 20 years, 70 years, 15 years. And that will be continuously. Mm-hmm. I know for sure that the Turkey will not be a member of mm-hmm. European Union. I don't believe this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When? Never, mm-hmm. if you ask me. With respect with the Turks. Mm-hmm.
Eternal discussion,
yes.
No membership.
Yes, that will be continuously.
And
finally, to be a neutral country does not mean that we will not have the bad relation with any of countries. First of all, it will be, could be one of the guarantees of security and stability in the region. I mean the South Caucasus region. We have two neighbors, Armenia and Azerbaijan, who are dependable of Georgia. Mm-hmm. So we have another neighbors also, Turkey and Russia Federation, yes, but these two countries are dependable of Georgia. Dependable of Georgian stability and peace. That's why they have the good relation with us. It's clear. It's absolutely clear for us. But we have to be some kind of guarantee of stability. And this stability and freedom will be for them also some kind of guarantee for their development.
Yeah. That the whole region is then more stable. But the question is, with this plan, the neutral Georgia, united neutral Georgia, what are the chances that the government that you have now, which has the EU membership, NATO membership, still in the Constitution, paragraph 78, but of course I see that the doubts are rising after the experiences in the Ukraine war, the pressure that was put on your country. Do you think it has any chance, the concept of neutrality, that this government would adapt it? What would the prime minister or the foreign minister say, or what did they say to you when you proposed them? Let's make, let's make Georgia neutral. Not again, but let's make Georgia neutral. What would they say?
You know, when you give me this question, you already give me the answer. You said the government which you have now. Now is the answer. This government is a now, or now government what we have these obligations on this way. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow, it depends of changeable world, depends of what kind of situation will be, and it could be happen. And I'll tell you what is the policy and what is the politics. It's some kind of art of the consensus, right? Mm-hmm. In this art, we need to have the consensus. And if we have the consensus, we will win this art. Mm-hmm. And art will be good policy. Mm-hmm. That's my answer.
But do you think that Georgia could draw from this war the consequence, neutrality is the future?
If you go on this answer right way, I'll tell you that the one of the things will be what kind of security forces will have, what kind of armed forces will have, what will be their mission. We did lots in a fight off against terrorists, for example, the security forces. We joined in the international coalitions in Afghanistan, in Iraq, etc., etc. I do think that one of the future of the Georgian militaries could be peacekeeping operations, one, and some kind of, I'm not just jumping in very future, but if you ask me what is the main challenge for the Georgia, I'll tell you the education.
Education.
Education is number one. And then comes the territorial integrity, etc., and economical, social issues, etc. Why? And we do have in our armed forces very good experience. But we can also share this experience to the other countries. With the trainers, centers, for example, for military engineers, mm-hmm. for military logistics, etc., etc. We can use our locations and open some military resort centers, recovery centers, etc., etc. We can use our forces for the peace and, let's say, to advertising of peace mm-hmm. and show to the people that the military is not a guy who only can fight yeah. and kill somebody. Mm-hmm. He's also the guy who can also cover somebody and rescue somebody. Mm-hmm. And to go to the economy, I'll tell you, I do understand that was the question, how the Russian will think about your neutrality. That will be one of the parts that they'll take the one of the guarantee that will not join the NATO. Yeah. They know very well that. But that's a reason, like in case of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That's a reason. If anybody will believe that if Georgian tomorrow, imagination, some kind of join the NATO, that will be threat for the Russian, we will take the Kremlin or what? Yeah. That's bullshit, right?
But if you are neutral, it would be acceptable to the Russians because they proposed it too. They said if Ukraine was neutral, it's no problem. That was the compromise
yes.
they did in Istanbul in the negotiations.
Yes.
Now the world is changing fast. We have a new American government. We have now 4 years or even more years of confrontation, West against the East, America against Russia, also China. Now a new president. Do you think we come now from an age of confrontation into an age of cooperation, or is that too naive?
No, it's not too naive. An age of cooperation will be better, and it's possible. Now it's a time to do this. Mm-hmm. You see what's happening now in Europe. Many countries are trying to get more independence, like they lost independence. No, they were independent countries. But many discussions about how to be free from, let's say, the American influence or the other influence, that's very valuable for them. Mm-hmm. Why it's happened? Because of wrong policy mm-hmm. of the previous administration. Maybe we'll also analyze this Trump's policy future in a different way. I don't know, maybe after 5 years we'll meet and we'll discuss this again. Look, that was not so good. But anyway, that may give the chance for the many countries to think more independently. Mm-hmm. We see the scandal of the USAID, what's happened there, how many money was found, let's say they found it, and what they are doing for this money. Against the countries, against the independence, against the culture.
Buying NGOs agitate and yes. Put their political influence.
It was really wrong. Mm-hmm. Now also Trump, what did Trump needs now and why he's doing this? Let's see, he's doing this for the better America. Mm-hmm. because the what's happening in a foreign policy of the United States. Let's check what's going there inside. There are too many problems there. And he needs to some kind of to discuss and to solve these problems.
So he cannot afford to have too many foreign policy problems.
Yes, of course. It's clear that the United States foreign policy is a foreign policy, and he has his interests, and he will not change everything in one day. He maybe changed some priorities, which is a number one, which is a number two, etc., etc. But the way what the previous administration has was really dangerous. First of all, from United States, then for the other countries too. And now these changes are really good hope for the many countries. If we take the example of the Georgia, what we need really? We are a small country, we need the stability fees to develop our economy and to continue live peacefully. Why we need this? We don't have the some natural resources like Azerbaijan and Arabic countries, etc. Our resources is a tool. Human beings, what we have, and we need to use them in a right way, in a good way. And second is a location, geographical location. And we also need to use in a right way. To build infrastructures, to build the things which will be useful for the country.
You are a military man, and you have always had to think about risks, about war, about the state of emergency of the case everybody wants to avoid. I mean, the officers, I would say most of them, they don't want war. They have an army to prevent
99%.
War, to avoid war, to avoid,
yes,
to avoid war. What is, in a dangerous world of huge powers, of Putins and Trumps and Xi Jinping's, and you are surrounded by them, Turkey, I mean, over the centuries, you had so many wars here in the Caucasus. What is the most important strategy for survival of a small country like Georgia?
Right planning. As I start in the beginning, we have to again, take all information, put on the table. I'm just trying to give this example, like a military example of planning. Take this information. Where are we? What we have around? What kind
of... Look at reality.
Yes.
Not wishful thinking.
No, yes. Will is a different than the reality. I would like, you know, many things. And another one is that if I were the king, I'll do this and this and this. But I have to remember that I'm not king first. And what kind of possibility I have for my wills. So when I have the on the table whole information, real information, where is my location, who is the neighbors, what they want, what kind of resources I have, then I can create the real plan. And when I created real plan, then I need the other things, except the resources and the plan. The people who will be executors of this plan, who will do this work. That's why I said the education is the number one challenge for us. I can make the excellent plan, and I know they have money, I know they have the some tools and the instruments, but if I don't have the right people who will develop and who will make this plan real, that will be impossible. That's a main thing for us. And if we have this picture, then easier. Then, for example, I'm telling that the priority number one is education. Maybe another person will say the priority number one is the territorial integrity. Third will say the maybe it's a energy independence for us. We have to create this. We have to analyze this. If we not make the analysis, we can discuss whole day this.
If you look, I mean, the world writes a lot of articles about Georgia. The people have opinions and plans with Georgia. What is the biggest misunderstanding of you know, the world, some of the leaders, some of the media that you have read in recent times. What is the biggest misunderstanding about Georgia?
I'll tell you a good example. A few days ago, one of the U.S. television journalists said about the USAID, he said they spend money for this, they spend money for this, and he made the sentence that 24 million they spent for this in Georgia. And immediately he said, in country of Georgia, not state in Georgia. That's an example. Even now, in these days, they need to explain that it's a country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. That's the United States. Mm-hmm. And you know, some months ago, we are the strategic partners. Mm-hmm. In the strategic partner countries, people need to indicate this, mm-hmm. that it's a country, Georgia, not the state, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Now see to the Europe. The mistakes what the European Union makes against us, I call it mistakes, yeah. really, was because that the reason of that was the not knowing the Georgian well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it also was our mistakes too. Maybe we did not introduce them as well. But you know very well the information has one of the biggest tool which can defeat or destroy everything if it goes in the right way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the wrong way, we'll have the another result. Mm-hmm. But we need more advertising, more information, and we need the, let's say, the work hard to show ourselves too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different, but it's very important.
To have to end our conversation with a personal questions. You spent your life in the military, Soviet Army, Georgian Army. You have seen many wars in a very short time. As a man, as a human being, what have you learned from your life in the army? What is the most important lesson you took for you personally? I mean, we spoke about the need to have a proper yes. information, to work with reality and not with wishful thinking. But on a personal level, what have you drawn out of all this military experience?
A couple things. One thing is the importance of the time, the meaning of the time. Not to waste time, but to be careful with the time. Time is very important. If I were now the younger, I knew for sure what I would do. That's time what I lost. Mm-hmm. So time importance. Second is that to be realistic in the life. To see the enemies, to see the neighbors, to see the friends, and recognize which is an enemy, which is a just neighbor, and who is a friend. And some kind of discipline of work. Without discipline in the work, you will not do anything. Mm. And if you don't make this discipline important, you will not have the quality result. Because result also very important. We call it in the military end state, you know. What is my end state? Mm-hmm. If you ask me as a human, what's my end state as a person, I know. But if you ask me what's the end state as a citizen mm-hmm. of the Georgia, I'll say to see this country without occupied territories and with the good economy and just peaceful and stability. This country deserves this. Mm-hmm. We have the huge history, huge culture, huge traditions, and many religions, many nations living together in this country very peacefully. It's our, like I say, the trademark. Mm-hmm. And this trademark we have to use together with our brains. Mm-hmm. We are smart people, small people maybe, with the number of nationality, but very smart people. Mm. But we have to use these brains in the right way.
I mean, it's interesting what you're describing. If you would not know that this is a Georgian speaking, it could be a Swiss. They say we have a plurality of people, more languages, several yes. languages. We have several religions. We have powerful neighbors. We had a lot of neighbors who were trying to attack us, who were telling us what to do. And we have always defended our independence and our sovereignty as a small country. We say we are so small, we cannot afford to make mistakes. We cannot be lured into these adventures of big government. I mean, Putin can make many mistakes. Sure. He still is the biggest country in the world. Ukraine cannot afford so many mistakes. Germany can make more mistakes than Switzerland. Georgia and Switzerland, we cannot make a lot of...
We don't have no time and no right.
Right. We have to be very careful. Now, the question is, in today's time, in Switzerland, everybody says, well, you know, Switzerland, it's not possible to be so independent. You have to come into NATO. You have to be closer to NATO. You have to be closer to European Union. You are so small. You are so weak. You cannot defend your sovereignty. Sovereignty is something from the past. Independence is a myth. It's Hollywood in your brain. What would you answer? I mean, Georgia has achieved to defend its independence in the last 30 years. You have a lot of pressure now, especially with this war in Ukraine. What do you say to these people who think, well, the small countries, we have to find a protector for us. We have to participate where something, because neutrality, one can say neutrality means independence. Neutrality is the international law trademark of independence. So why should one defend its independence? What is so precious about independence?
If we take the small example, after the elections, what kind of countries recognize Georgia, right? First of all, that was the countries, neighbor countries, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkey, first of all. Why? Because Turkey, for example, if you take the Turkey, with great respect to the any neighbors, has their policy and their national interests, right? And Turkey has the many neighbors like Syria, Iran, etc., etc. Only in a small part in the north, Turkey has the country where they have the guarantee of stability. They know for sure that Georgia will not attack them, and in this border, Georgia-Turkish border, they will not have any kind of problem. We have the cooperation with them, we have trade in economical relation, and in the security issues, in the anti-terrorist issues, etc., etc. So for Turkey, Georgia, stability is very important. Same situation we have with the Armenia and Azerbaijan, because for them we are the one bridge to the Black Sea and to the another Europe.
That means, if I make a shortcut here, that means a neutral country is of great use for other countries.
Absolutely.
It causes no problems.
Absolutely.
It keeps peace even if there is war. So neutrality is not only good for one country because it keeps you out of the war, it is also good for the other countries.
Absolutely.
Because you are a guarantee, you have stability, you
Absolutely.
Cause no problem.
Absolutely. Only one problematic state will be the Russia. And I said, to solve this problem with the Russian, we need some kind of support. Political support with the big countries. Otherwise, it will be difficult. But of course, to get this support, we need to work hard with them. Mm-hmm. First of all, China or United States, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Et mm-hmm. Why we are angry and why we said we have the blackmail from the European countries when we are or with the previous administration? Because when we need some foundations, some money, we are getting that. I'll tell you a very good example. When I was the chief of the general staff, we were some military education programs with the different countries. And the one day, I'm not saying from which country, but doesn't matter, I get the, some proposals for the training. And when I opened the, let's say, this paper, I saw the airborne courses for my soldiers and the officers. I said, look, we are small countries. I don't need the airborne courses. I need the military engineers. I need the logistics. I need the, let's say, the medical, military medicals, etc. Airborne courses for what I need. Where I will use these airborne courses. So, paratroopers, just with the badge, for what? Mm. And, you know, I was getting these courses like changes. Mm-hmm. They're not use this course, now you get these changes and use as you like. And it's a support for you. Mm-hmm. But it costs money. For me, it's much better if we, for example, you are the man who is ready to donor me with the financing, and I'm the man who needs this such kind of support. Let's sit together, let's discuss together, and I will tell you what I need. You tell me what you can do in this way. And if we get the agreement, then I will take the support.
But the guy who gives you the money, he always wants to tell you who gives the order.
Yes,
with
I
the
know.
Money.
I know. I know, but let me be a little bit quicker than that.
Sure.
Let's do this in this way that it will be beneficial for us together.
Yeah. My last point here, and this is brings us back to the beginning of our conversation. If you study the example of Ukraine, Ukraine is somehow also a bit similar with Georgia. It's a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
EU is a big topic, NATO membership. Now they have a war. It's all destroyed, or lots of it is destroyed, not all of it. I mean, it's not an all-out invasion in the whole country, etc., but it's still, it's very bad. It's terrible. Georgia is not. You have Russia in your home. You have Russia with one foot on your doorstep, on your
yes.
neck. But still you could avoid it. What was the biggest mistake of Ukraine? What should they have never done? And what is the most important lesson for Georgia to learn from the example of Ukraine?
Government. Government. Why we survive in these days? With these pressures from the European Union, for the previous US administration, because we had the principle, government. Government who really likes his country and thinking about the security, about the stability of the country. And our, let's say, the top politicals didn't change this for the anything. Stability and freedom in country. It's a government. If you give me the question, what I don't like this government, maybe I'll say 100 things.
Yeah.
But this one thing that they keep the country in stability and freedom is a main thing.
So
now, compare with the Ukrainian government. They have the Zelensky, which is not the right guy. He was not the right guy. Even when he was elected as a president, with the no political experience, that could be, we can say that that could be happening in the countries, then he will show the, his political will. But with zero political experience, with no will to support his country, corrupted guy could imagine the president commander-in-chief, making money during the war. What is this? Or let's take the another example. Even it was the administration of the Biden's administration. Twice he had the chance to stop the war, Zelensky. One in Istanbul it was the discussion, and second time he sent his, let's say, the foreign minister Kuleba in China. And it was like seconds before the ceasefire. And what they did, they shoot the rocket to the Russian territory, and Putin made the same. hey, don't think about this crazy guy. What you did for your country. Putin is a Russian president and he wants to destroy the Ukraine. But what are you doing to...
Don't give him a reason to do that.
Yes, that's right, that's right. And then Kuleba resigned. And just to why I said Kuleba, for the reason also. Kuleba was also one of the corrupted guy. Minister of Foreign Affairs, could you imagine that? Mm-hmm. He posted as ambassador in Armenia his father. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Could you imagine? Minister of Foreign Affairs posting the in a, one of the countries, for example, in Armenia, his father.
Well, Donald Trump used his daughter and his son-in-law for political purposes in his government.
Yeah.
It seems to be the new style
yes.
in international politics.
Yes, but it's not normal, yes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But is the big mistake, or, I mean, the
that was the mistake of the people that they elected.
The negative example of, if I understand you correctly, you're saying the negative example of President Zelensky is he didn't think strongly enough about his own country. He put other interests on top of his agenda.
Yes.
When he was saying, for example, we have to defeat Russia on the battlefield, which I think, or which one could think, it's total crazy for a country like Ukraine, with all due respect, to destroy Russia on the battlefield. Not even the Nazi armies of Adolf Hitler, the strongest army in the world at that time, could defeat Russia. They terribly underestimated them.
Yes. I have the sentences in that small book. When they discuss it, I hear it with the military experts, even in my country, from TV, from radio, from internet. Also, I was watching BBC, CNN, some different Euronews, and I was listening to some kind of military experts who are telling us it's just a couple of days when the Ukraine will defeat the Russia. And my question was very simple. Excuse me, tell me, where the military actions are going, in which territory, in Russians or Ukrainian? That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to say to the Rado, to Hovodi, it was possible to destroy the Russia
mm-hmm.
with the Ukraine. Russia using his sources for this war. And he was also in isolation with the sanctions and still fighting.
Mm.
Ukraine was supporting, like with the whole NATO countries, with the money, but again he's losing the territories. It's a very simple. If you show the map of military actions, or let's say to the battalion commander, he will say exactly what's going there. You don't need to be general or the colonel about this, but they use in this case some kind of information war.
Mm-hmm.
It's a just normal information war.
Mm-hmm. So we saw
with using the psychological warfare mm-hmm. elements, mm-hmm. and I know it very well. It's a very simple that many people believe that. Oh, Ukraine soon will defeat the Russia, and I say that will be happiest day in my life. But so what? It's mm-hmm. not. It's not real. Yes.
Neutrality, and this is the last point, in the Swiss tradition means neutrality is like a handcuff for the government to start a war. Neutral countries never start wars. A President Zelensky would not be possible in a neutral country. He could never have this room of maneuver. You have to be very cautious when you are attacked. You
yes,
can defend
that's
yourself.
Different. That's different.
But if every country is neutral on the world, we would have no wars. So this is, I guess, also
yes, because
your plan.
We, we have the big territories in some centuries ago, Georgians. And countries are, step by the centuries, became smaller and smaller. Now we have the territories what we have, adapted with the United Nations. and proved with the United Nations. We are not going to get another territories with the war. Even these 20% of territories which is occupied from the Russia, I'm telling that we are not going to return these territories with the war. We need to go in another way. Because first of all, we think that the Abkhazians, Ossetians are citizens of Georgia. They are not enemy, they are not people of another countries. They are our citizens. Like the another, any citizen what we see now from the window. And, you know, when we talking about the Abkhazia, many people are telling that we have to return the Abkhazia. And I said, no, it's not right word. We don't need to say to return the Abkhazians or Ossetians. We have to say, we have to return to each other. It's a way. To return you means some kind of with forcing you to come with me. To return to each other, to shake hands, it's a different way. And for this reason, we have to understand also a couple things. One of the things is that to analyze what kind of mistakes we made. I do think that we made some mistakes during that war what we held in the 90s. They do also have such kind of opinion. We have to, during this, let's say, the movement to each other, recognize this. And if it's necessary, I'm ready to say my excuses for them. They also. It's not to be easy because we kill each other. Our brothers kill their brothers. Their brothers kill our brothers. But that was the mistake. We need to not to forget this, just to stop this and open the new list. List of corporation, list of future life. Otherwise, we'll never have the future. We'll be enemies for all time. Now, many things are what we are doing from the Abkhazians. We are supporting them in the medical cases. Their patients are coming in Tbilisi, in Zulvid, in Kutaisi. It's excellent. I do think that in future we have to think about increasing these things. Culturally, we are very clear, very close to each other. Mentality is very close to each other. Many traditions. We have hundreds of mixed families. That's why I said the historically, our mentality of to live together with the different nations, different religions, it's one of the good tool for us to speak with the Abkhazians. Because I knew many families, their mother is Abkhazian or father is Ossetian, and said, which is absolutely normal. Same, when I'm talking about the Putin, I have my reasons. But if you ask me what I think about the Russian people, my answer is absolutely different. I look for them like humans, absolutely, because I have the friends who has the mother of Russia nationality, or Ukrainian, etc., etc., or Azerbaijanian or Armenian. It doesn't matter for me because they are my citizens.
So, friendly coexistence on the basis of neutrality and not big aspirations in geopolitical terms. Thank you very much, Colonel, for this conversation. We went through the whole terrible topic of this war. Many thanks for your experience. And it's really interesting with this neutrality initiative. We wish you, of course, all the best of luck, because we Swiss, we have made a very good experience with that. But we always have to fight as well to preserve our neutrality in times where everybody wants to pull you on his side and people don't accept it. If you say, I'm for Georgia, they say, no, no, you are for Putin. If you say, I'm neutral, you're helping the bad guy. And this needs a lot of eloquence and power. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you, and I'll be more thankful if you somehow help us to share your experience. I mean, the experience of your country about the neutrality. I'll really appreciate that.
Of course, and they are also in our embassy here or other people who can do that. But of course, this would be very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.